Hello, I'm Forrest Hayes. I'm sitting here with my co-founder and partner, Matthew Cheng, talking about the Cheng Robotics Fund and the AIM company. Let's dive into the themes within the portfolio. A couple of major themes stick out: infrastructure, healthcare, tech. Why don't we start with infrastructure? What are some of the portfolio companies that we're investing in today? And let's go into a little bit of a case study with each one.
Yeah. I think both you and I have been surprised at the infrastructure opportunities. One of the questions would be, how come we're finding them? And for most of these infrastructure plays, we're the first VC to write a check. So where are the other VCs? I see a lot of them out there. How come they're not beating us to the punch here? I think it has to do with a couple of things. Number one is infrastructure that we invest in is inherently robotic today. Right. Electric vehicles, high-end technology around renewable energy, port infrastructure, mm-hmm. automating ports, right? Those are the companies you mentioned.
Right.
That's a heavy lift technically and really hard to underwrite for a typical VC that is not a practicing engineer.
Definitely.
So I think, for one, we're excited by it. As soon as we see it, we get the potential, like what an unlock these companies can be. You know, and the end markets, just for the audience, are airports, seaports, and cities, right? So right. that's an end market that you don't perceive as being a high technology buyer, but we get it. We understand how federal funding works, state funding. We understand the logistical and operational challenges each of these environments go through. And then the next piece is, I think it's, if you're going to be involved in a company like that, you have to really be able to add value, because the lift is extremely heavy 100%. In infrastructure. You know, it's not just spending the money. There's plenty of banks and bond financing companies that can do that. Mm. These founders are going to need big teams and a lot of resources. I think the fact that we are also running an engineering company really gives us an advantage and kind of that edge as to why we should be a funding partner, because you get both. You get the venture capital investment and you get the engineering bench at the same time.
That's right.
So I think for the founder, it's kind of a go fast button.
Definitely. And as the interest in AI starts to wane, which we're starting to see in some of the data coming out of PitchBook, specifically in Q2, and as we end in Q3, we're starting to see robotics, deep tech, fintech, and other industrial automation come to the forefront of venture capital investing, which obviously gives us great hope and courage to go out and find these companies, of which we've incubated approximately 15 across infrastructure, which I mentioned. But let's talk about healthcare tech. Mm, this has been a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah,
and
me.
It's been fun.
Let's
talk about, I don't know, Oxos or Hibiscus Health or Curobotics.
Right. Yeah. And we just added another one this month in Suture Shield, which is really exciting. So, the medical tech space, the healthcare tech space has been surprising. And I think what you're seeing is, as we demand new solutions in healthcare, mm-hmm. it's trending towards digital and robotic, right? Those are the big technology categories that unlock the next level of healthcare access and affordability. The healthcare industry is like every other workforce in America. You have declining participation in the workforce. You mm-hmm. have increasing demand. You know, we have the silver tsunami coming up, and at the same time, we're losing doctors and nurses. So technology is needed to fill the gap. I was surprised at how ready all the healthcare tech companies that we met were to be funded. I think that's why we have such a good little pocket of companies in this tech category. So we have hospital robotics.
Right.
We have portable x-ray machines. We have AI for metabolic health.
Right.
Something that
that's brand new.
Perhaps men of a certain age can appreciate.
Definitely. Right? Yeah.
and then most recently, we have an innovation that aids in robotic surgery. You know, it increases safety for patients and outcomes for patients that undergo robotic surgery, which is the fastest growing category of surgery. So I was surprised that we ended up with this such a nice cluster of companies in this area. But it speaks to the professionalism of the founders. You know, they were ready. We didn't have to tell them to wait and go do some milestones before we can fund. They were all buttoned up. And I also think it speaks to the enormity of the challenge in healthcare, mm-hmm. that we have nobody that is watching this is going to say insurance is working for them, right? Nobody that's watching it that works at a hospital is going to say they love the growth in the administration at their hospital if they're a provider. My wife is a provider, so I get the hall pass to say that.
Right.
So you have these huge challenges, and at the same time, we're not bringing talent in to work in the hospitals. Not enough people go to nursing school, and not enough people go to med school. So we have to augment those workers with new technologies so that they can care for more people.
And it comes down to the problem that we're solving. Because ultimately, if there's not a problem to be solved by an engineer, it's not worth solving.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. All of our companies are use case specific.
Yes.
These are not artificial general intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like, if we could just solve an AI model, it will be able to do everything for us. We don't underwrite that way. We don't invest in that way. We look for known use cases and pain points in industries, and we go right after it in a highly specific way. My team of engineers gets hands-on with each portfolio company mm-hmm. during their prototyping, their first-gen production, second-gen production, and we help them understand the totality of what they're doing. It could be supply chain, regulatory. It could be quality or sanitation. And we try to pull together all those different things into a comprehensive company plan and do it on a shoestring budget. That's the other thing that I find interesting is, as I look at some of the activity that big VCs are doing, they really push a spin model.
Right.
We push a spend really wisely model and don't spend it if you don't have to. So it's that kind of frugality in capital is a different mindset. What I think this sets up our founders to do, because keep in mind, if I'm a founder, right. You know, we're doing this for founders. It's going to help them in the long run preserve more of their company and get to a faster exit.
Well, that's been an issue in the industry, and we're seeing that come to bear right now. And venture capital needs a bit of a redesign.
Yeah, it's not really founder friendly.
No, not at all.
The typical, I think most people, and I feel like we should teach a class for founders to kind of get this message out there. The typical founder that goes IPO, that's the promised land for most tech companies, right? You're like, hey, I want to do an IPO. I want to go, you know, get to the stock exchange. They usually own 5 to 8% of their company at IPO.
Right.
Now, if you could rewind the clock back 8 years before they took that first VC check and you said, hey, you're going to take this VC money, but we're the investor class. We're going to take 90 or 95% of the company. Mm. Would they have agreed to go down that path?
Probably not.
Or would they maybe have pushed for a little more practical company that was, say, had some mix of customer funding mm-hmm. and earlier market adoption and specific use case problem solving? So that's what I think we're trying to do is we want our founders to retain more of their company, to be agile, to get to exit faster. Right? Not everything has to be mega IPO or bust. If a large corporation wants to take the company off your hands as a strategic purchase for a 10x multiple, for a lot of founders, that's a great deal.
It's a great deal. And we're seeing that more so in the secondary market as the proliferation of SPVs has increased by over 545% according to Q2 data. And the capital raised off of that is up 1,000%. So the secondary market has taken over from the promised land of the IPO. So we're in the right spot. We're in the right place for the Chang Fund, for AMCO, and we're swimming with the tide at this stage. So let's dive in a little bit more into the infrastructure and the tech there and building to spec. Talk a little bit about Green Corridors, for example.
Oh, I love this company. So Green Corridors is run by a guy named Mitch Carlson. Mm-hmm. Mitch is an exited entrepreneur. He's also a roughneck. So I love that he came up in the oil field. He has a trade.
Right.
And then from there founded a tech company, a global tech company. He took over a project, is what I'll call it, that mm-hmm. was in Texas, which was sponsored by Texas A&M University mm-hmm. and the Texas DOT. We're trying to figure out how to get the freight that we drive on our public roads up off the road, get the truck trailers and get the sea containers up off the road, get them in a separate travel lane so that the entirety of the roadway could be used for passengers. which is, I think, we all want.
Yes.
At the same time, trains weren't appropriate. To have a train, you have to go at least a 500-mile haul. And most of the routes in Texas are city to city, right? So it's not appropriate to put it on a train. So this company, Green Corridors, came along. It was a fantastic idea in concept. It was founded by civil engineers who came up with a good technical solution. But there was so much more than the technical and the policy side that had to happen. Mitch took it over. He brought in his own management team. He brought in a bunch of fresh legs and new talent. And then before you know it, they have a technology solution that's going to work with modern tech, such as autonomous single freight cars.
Right.
And then they also earned an approval from the White House and President Trump to be the only company licensed to operate this across borders.
Very important.
Borders are important in freight transit, especially when you're a border state with Mexico, right? So we love Green Corridors. I'm very bullish on the technology. I love the management team. Chang Robotics is involved with them doing the technology engineering. So we have an inside look at how things are going.
Right.
And then we were very fortunate enough to be their first VC. And that's just another example of us kind of being agile in the market and getting there first.
100%. Yep. That's great. Well, thank you for spending the time with us, Matt. We appreciate it. More to come. Good to see you.
Thanks, Forrest.